At the close of our service today, we're going to sing one of these praise songs again, and during that time, we're going to give you a chance to come forward if you want to, and either Charles or myself can pray for you, or you can pray at the altar, or whatever you feel you want to do, but we want you to know that we want to pray with you and for you, and so that opportunity will come at the close of this service. Let's pray before we go any further now. Our Father and our God, what a wonderful, beautiful morning you have blessed us with. The beauty on the outside, the hint of spring, the sunshine, and the beauty of your fragrance and presence on the inside. Oh, we praise you, Father. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. And we would ask, Almighty God, that your Spirit would lead us, continue to lead us in our worship of you. We do want to pray for all of our friends, family, neighbors on this prayer list. There are so many. We rejoice knowing that some have gone through treatments and would be called cancer-free. We rejoice at that, O God. We rejoice knowing that in the past few days, we have learned of and perhaps led people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We rejoice over your goodness and grace this morning, Father. But we do lift up all those on the prayer focus, many, many hurts, many, many troubles. We ask that you would be with each and every one. You know the circumstances. We pray that your will would be done. As we have gathered this morning, Father, as churches have gathered in this town and the towns around us and in this nation, we would pray again, O God, by your Spirit, may the name of Jesus be lifted high. May you, our Father, be glorified. I pray, Lord, as we continue to look at this subject, this topic of the second advent of Jesus and the events leading up to that time, that you would guide my words, that they may be your words, and that you would speak to our hearts, and we might be hearing from your Spirit today. And so thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Guide us, Lord, as we continue to worship you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, well, today's topic goes along with the last couple of months when we think about the second advent of Christ. Today's topic comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you have your Bible, that's where we will be. We have been in Thessalonians before. Paul has much to say about the second coming of Christ. I have entitled this message today, The Restrainer Removed and the Lawless One Revealed. That's a mouthful in itself, but I want to break that down, and I pray. I have been praying this for a couple of weeks as I have been preparing for this specific set of verses. I have been praying that God would help me to make the message plain and clear so we understand better what Paul has said to the church in these verses. The restrainer removed and the lawless one revealed. Now, before I read from Scripture, let me say this. I've been talking about signs. Signs pointing towards the second advent, the rapture, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you probably have heard this, but I want to reiterate it once more anyway. Just this past week, there was another, to me, evidence of the further falling away of America, falling away from following and trusting the Lord. Evidences, Paul talks about the mystery of lawlessness. Evidences are everywhere. And in discussion this week regarding the Equality Act, if you pay any attention to the political arena, I know sometimes we don't think that we want to go there, but we Christians also need to be aware, very, very aware. Anyway, the conversation this week in the House of Representatives regarding the Equality Act, it's anything but, I might add, you should read it if you have not. Representative Stube, I believe is how you say your name, although I'm not sure, young representative from Florida, literally brought his Bible to the chambers because they knew they were discussing the Equality Act, and he read from his Dr. Tony Evans commentary Bible. He read from his Bible in places and reminded those present there that day of the God-given creation and uniqueness of a man and a woman, uniquely designed by God, uniquely different. He read from scriptures. In response, Representative Jerry Nadler from New York stated this, and I quote, "Mr. Stube, what any religious tradition describes as God's will is no concern of this Congress." End quote. You say, Jim, so what? Signs of the falling away, signs of the mystery of lawlessness. As we continue to journey through the topic of the second advent of Jesus, I would like to go back, as I mentioned, to 2 Thessalonians 2 and talk about three specific events that Paul talks about. He reiterates in his writing to the church at Thessalonica. Paul mentions these. These events are happening. Charles has said that. I have said that. These events are in motion. And some of the events that he talks about will happen. And some of them may happen very, very soon. Those three events that I want to mention to us this morning are, one, the falling away. We talked about that already. We won't talk about it a great deal this morning. But the falling away, the apostasy of the church. The second one that we're going to look at today is the restraining one removed. Not too many people talk about that in Scripture. The third one is the man of sin revealed. Events that are happening and will happen. Specific events. Let us pick it up in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you got your Bible. I'm 1 through 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul writes, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." Obviously, that is an event that overshadows everything we've been talking about. "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him." As I read many commentaries in the last 2 weeks preparing for this, some would suggest that little phrase is the event we talked about a couple, 3 weeks ago called the rapture, the gathering together to Him. Paul says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." In other words, he said, take a deep breath, count to 10, relax, it hasn't happened yet. Then he says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, the day he's been talking about, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. We talked about that a while back. That is an event, falling away. Paul is talking about a specific event, a mass migration, if you will, of falling away, of turning away. And when I read comments, I actually heard this with my own ear, this comment that I read to you. When I see those kind of comments, it's more evidences of the falling away, the moving away from God. So, back to Scripture. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. That's an event. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. That's an event. There will be a revealing. And then he describes in verse 4 just a little bit that man of sin, son of perdition. 4 is simply a description of him when he says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That's what Paul says about this man of sin. Perhaps you may recognize this title or for this person easier from other places in Scripture when he's referred to as the Antichrist. There will be a come a time, he said, when that person is elevated to a position of world authority. In verse 5, Paul says to the church, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? I said this earlier, and I was just thinking over the last couple of weeks as I prepared for this. Man, I wish I was in on that conversation. He apparently, Paul, divinely inspired, led by the Holy Spirit of God, apparently had great conversation with this church in person about the things of God and the specific events of the second return of Jesus. He says to them, do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you all of this? And then he says in verse 6, and now you know. Apparently he told them about this topic also, because he said, and now you know what is restraining. Apparently he elaborated on that with them at some point. And so he says again, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. He's talking about the man of lawlessness. There's a restrainer keeping things under control, if you will. And he said, at the right time, the man of lawlessness, he says he, that small h, will be revealed in his own time. For the mystery, now listen to me closely because he's talking about two different things here. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he, that's capital H in most of your Bibles, only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That is an event. When the restrainer is removed, he is taken out of the way, then, verse 8, the lawless one will be revealed. And he again elaborates on who the lawless one will be when he is revealed, when he says this, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. I got one more verse, but let me say this. If you have read Revelation lately, you will be reminded that there is this buildup and buildup of this great battle. And in Revelation 19 and 21, you will see that there really is no battle, because with the breath of God, with the sword of God, the lawless one, who we know as the Antichrist, will be eliminated, poof, sent to hell in a moment. Hallelujah is right. The last verse there, he says, this lawless one, this is an individual, the lawless one that he said, when the restrainer is removed, then the lawless one will be revealed. This lawless one is in accordance with the workings of the mystery of lawlessness. There are two different things he's talking about. The mystery of lawlessness that has been going on the whole time, and then eventually there will be a man of sin or lawlessness. You still with me, brothers and sisters? I'll try to clear it up before we get done. I see some blank looks. I'll try to clear it up before we're done. I promise. The last thing he says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. In other words, when this guy does show up, when this guy does come, there is going to be some really, really crazy things happening, because he'll be direct puppet, if you will, of Satan. That's the lawless one that will come when the restrainer is removed. You still with me, brothers and sisters? Okay. Now, apparently, Paul had talked to this church at length about the second coming. And I just envision a beautiful conversation of enlightening them. And yet, apparently, there was some either skepticism or some doubt or some false teachers giving them some kind of insight to get them thinking, maybe I've already missed it. And so in this particular set of verses, the Apostle Paul reiterates these events that will take place before the second coming. Let me just say this very briefly about the falling away, because we've already talked about that a couple, 3 weeks ago, but I read this out of the Bible Knowledge Commentary this week. I thought it was good. Here's what it says regarding the falling away, and I quote, "This is a revolt, a departure, an abandoning of a position once held. Apostasy has characterized the church almost from its inception, but Paul is referring here to a specific distinguishable apostasy that will come in his future." Are you with me? This is a major movement away from God. That is exactly what we've been seeing in America for some time. People leaving the church in droves. We've talked about that. We've talked about the rising up of the nuns, N-O-N-E-S, where that percentage of people is growing all the time in America, where they have no affiliation with church whatsoever. We've been talking about these things. It's a moving away. It's the apostasy. We've been talking about, it's been a while now, but the tickling of ears. Brothers and sisters, Paul has a bunch to say about that to his young son, Timothy, when he says there will come a time when they will set up for themselves teachers. All they're going to do is tickle your ears, tell you what you want to hear. That's part of the apostasy. Ear tickling is not helping. That's all part of what he describes here. It's all happening right now. But that isn't the subject I want to talk about this morning. Sherry, I made it a drink. You got me some? Which one? I've already downed two of these. I thought I was good to go. The two topics I want to talk more about are the other two that I've mentioned. The first one is the restrainer removed. Now remember what he said in verse 5. Do you not remember when I was with you, I told you these things? And apparently Paul had told them about the restrainer being removed also, because he says in verse 6, and now you know what is restraining. And then in verse 7, only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed. So, our first question of the day, who is the restraining one? If you look at a lot of commentaries, which I like to do, I like to read, I like to learn, I like to discern from other people's thoughts and see what they're thinking too. There's a lot of thoughts on this matter. Some would suggest this is the government, this is Rome, this is some authority like that. I do not subscribe to that. However, I do subscribe to the idea, as I mentioned this before, from the author Amir Sarfati, and other commentaries suggest that the restraining one is the Holy Spirit of God that lives within the heart of people. That's what I subscribe to, as do many others, people a lot smarter than I am. And in mentioning this strong possibility that it is the restraining one is the Holy Spirit of God, when the church, when the bride of Christ is raptured, we saw that, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, remember that? Some of you were here with us. When that happens, when the bride of Christ is raptured, the Holy Spirit, or the restraining one, will be leaving also, thus allowing the appearance and the establishing of the man of sin, because there is no one here any longer to restrain the mystery of lawlessness. The restrainer has been removed. Are you still with me, brothers and sisters? Are you getting more tired by the moment? You're still hanging in there? We got a ways to go. I want to clear it up. It isn't clear yet, but we'll get clear before we're done. Signs. Paul said, Jesus said, signs. Things that are happening now, I believe. Very evident. Signs that will happen. Let us look here at this scripture again. Let me say this. Then the restrainer will keep restraining until he is taken out of the way with the rapture. Then the lawless one will be revealed. But I want us to be able to differentiate between the mystery of lawlessness with the man of sin. Who is the lawless one? The man of sin. What is the work of lawlessness? It appears here from Scripture. See, Paul seems to be suggesting that the mystery of the lawless one, the mystery that he says started, it's going on even now, he said, it seems that is a continual work. The mystery of lawless one, the mystery of lawlessness. That would be different, but yet part of the man of sin, or the lawless one that is an individual. I like this quote from the Life Application Study Bible. I think it's helpful. And I quote, "The mystery of lawlessness is already at work, means that the work that this Antichrist will do is already going on." We know that to be true. We know of the sin and the difficulty that is going on around us. And so the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, means that the work that this Antichrist will do is already going on. Now remember, he said this 2,000 years ago, and that lawless work was already going on then. But, hang on now, stay with me. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, he said in 7. only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one, that's an individual, will be revealed. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says it this way: the Holy Spirit of God is the only person with sufficient supernatural power to do the restraining. How does he do it? Through Christians whom he indwells. How will he be taken out of the way? When the church leaves the earth in the rapture, the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way in the sense that his unique lawlessness restraining ministry through God's people will be removed. End quote. Who is the lawless one? I will say this, time will tell. Time will tell who the lawless individual is. It is a person. It will be. It is a person. And depending upon the timing of the rapture and the removal of the restraining one, I would also suggest this, that person that Paul identifies as the lawless one could be among us today. Why do I say that? Because the rapture, I believe, is very close. It is. And I say hallelujah also. And so if the rapture is very close, and I believe it is, people study this all the time, would suggest it as well. But if the rapture is very close, when that happens and the restrainer is removed, Paul said, at that point, the lawless one, this individual, will become known. So if the rapture is close, say, it could happen even today, but say it happened even in the next 30 years, the rapture happens, the restrainer gets removed, the lawless one is going to come into prominence. That's why I say the lawless one could be among us today. He could be. He could be among us today. When that lawless one comes into prominence, comes into power, begins to display lying wonders and power orchestrated by the devil himself, that person will become the leader of the world. You still with me, brothers and sisters? Nobody's asleep, but I think you're confused. Stay with me. I'm going to clear it up, I promise. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying, and wonders, Paul said, and I would suggest and add, this person is probably also the one referred to in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 11, Daniel chapter 12, places in Revelation, 1 John 4, and in other places. Probably the same person, the lawless one. I mentioned this before, but Paul adds to this church about the lawless one when he's revealed. Yes, according to, you take a look at all the scripture, and there's a lot of it, brothers and sisters, tons I haven't touched on, from Daniel and Ezekiel and Zechariah and Revelation about the second coming of Christ. When you look at and consider all of this scripture, you know that there's going to be a period of 7 years. We call it the Great Tribulation. That's going to be really, really difficult. The lawless one will be leading the charge in that time. Are you with me? And according to what Paul said, I believe this to be accurate. Obviously, you've caught on by now. I'm a pre-tribulation rapture kind of a thinker. But before this lawless one in all of his power, his lying wonders and signs, is deceiving the billions that are still here, the church and the restrainer will be gone. Hallelujah. That's the way I see it. Maybe Pat can correct me if I'm wrong. Pat studies this. Other people study this more than I do, but this is the way I see it. Now, when he says, "And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." That's a really, really simple little phrase of talking about the lawless one isn't going to reign that long. He's not going to have control that long. There will come a point, and I believe this is in Revelation 19, there will come a point when God, when Jesus comes back triumphant in glory, and he will wipe out the opposition, he will throw them into the place that is prepared for them, and the one of lawlessness will go there also. Revelation 19:21. Let me try to wrap this all up, pull it all together for us. There are obvious signs amongst us today of the near return of Jesus. Would you agree, brothers and sisters? There are obvious signs. Falling away is happening. Jesus said, I mentioned this, I think this was way back before, I know it was, way back before Christmas. Jesus said, I think it's in Matthew 24, I didn't look it up, but I think this is where it's at. When he's answering the question, when will the coming of the Son of Man be? What will be the signs? One of the things that he said, as it was in the days of Noah. You remember that, brothers and sisters, you remember that? As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. What does that mean? He elaborated on that. They'll be eating, they'll be drinking, they'll be marrying, they'll be giving marriage. They'll be doing everything normally without a second thought to the second coming of Christ. They're going to be going about everyday business and even making proclamations in Congress. God's will has nothing to do with this Congress. We're going to be going about everyday business. And boom, the flood came. And they were wiped out. Jesus said, that's how it's going to be in the coming of the Son of Man. We're going to be going about everyday business with too many, with not a concern or a care about the trumpet of God when it sounds. Because that trumpet of God is going to sound pretty quick. And Jesus said, and Paul said in Thessalonians 1, in chapter 4, the dead in Christ will rise, and those of us that are remain shall be caught up with them in the air, and we shall be forever with the Lord. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And Paul is reiterating in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, there's these events. They're falling away. They're turning their back on God. They got no time for him. They're not interested anymore. And then the trumpet of God is going to sound. The trumpet of God is going to sound, and he's going to come back. And we saw this from 1 Corinthians 15 In a moment, Paul said to the church at Corinth, in the twinkling of an eye, in a split second, the trumpet of God is going to sound, and Jesus is going to rapture out his church. And I believe at this time, the restrainer will be removed. And from that point forward, to simply suggest in simple terms, all hell will break loose. The church is gone. The restrainer is gone. The man of lawlessness, the man of sin, will be revealed. And I don't know how long that's going to be as we work up to that. I don't know how long it's going to be between the church is gone and the man of lawlessness is revealed. But that is the sequence, Paul said. The man of lawlessness will come onto the scene when the restrainer is removed. Signs. Signs. We're seeing the signs. Friends, listen to me. When the restrainer is removed and the rapture of the saints has happened, You ready? There will still be billions of people here. Are you hearing me? He said, Jim, I thought all roads lead to heaven. They don't. Jesus leads to heaven. When the rapture of the church happens, those that have been blood bought and put our faith in the Son of God and have denied ourselves and are following Him, those will be raptured. And when that happens, the restrainer will be removed. There will be billions left on earth. Read Revelation 6 through 19 lately and see if it talks about any people around. Jesus is the one that said, broad is the road that leads to destruction and many are on it. Few are those that find the narrow gate. Few, he said, find it. There will be billions left on earth. When the rapture happens and the restrainer is removed, there will be billions still here. They missed the flight. That's when the restrainer, or the lawless one, will come into prominence, will come into evidence. That's what Paul said. Restrainer removed, revealing of the lawless one. There will be billions still here that need to be governed. The lawless one will be doing the governing. You still with me? There will be billions still here. They missed the flight. The lawless one will begin to govern. So much to be said about this in Revelation and other places. But lest we're here till evening, I will not go to Revelation on the matter. But here's my point today. I asked the earlier service, if you have heard of the term, the Great Reset. How many in this service have heard the term, the Great Reset? Okay. That's a little bit alarming to me that 90% hasn't heard of it. You can Google it. You can read about it. And as Christians, you owe it to yourself to be informed. How about World Economic Forum? Have you heard of that? Some of the same people. The rest of you haven't. All right. Let me just say this then. I think it's important that we take the time, just a couple more minutes. The Great Reset is a group of people headed by Klaus Schwab, the leader of the World Economic Forum. They will be meeting this summer. They're real. This is real. They'll be meeting this summer. You owe it to yourselves to look up World Economic Forum. Great Reset. You need to be educated about this. Why? Because they have an agenda. They have a very specific agenda. You say, yeah, but Jim, people have been pushing towards one world government for 100 years. That's true. There has been. But the press and the push towards one world government right now is very real, and it's very much alive and among us. If you would go to, pop up that screen for me, please. If you would go to the World Economic Forum webpage, you would find this on the first page. There are many, 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 many pages with much of their agenda. They are not even trying to hide this anymore. This is on the first page. Let me read it to you. Follow along, see what they're saying, and listen closely to the agenda in this statement. As we enter a unique window of opportunity to shape the recovery, this window of opportunity they're referring to and shaping the recovery is the pandemic. The pandemic plays right into their hands. I don't have time to elaborate. Global warming didn't work so good for them before. They've resurrected that to try it again, to get us scared into submission, the populace of the world. And so here's their quote. As we enter a unique window of opportunity to shape the recovery, this initiative, the Great Reset, will offer insights into help inform all those determining the future state of global relations. Are you hearing it, friends? As we come together, and we're going to use this pandemic to our advantage. People are scared anyway, so we're going to tell them we're their answer. To help inform all those determining the future state of global relations. The direction of the national economies. The priorities of societies. In other words, when we get control, when we get the Great Reset into reality, it may happen, it may be years till it happens, but that's what they're pushing for. We will determine the money. Their agenda is clear. All you have to do is look at it. One of the priorities is one world currency. This is being talked about openly. One world government. This is being talked about openly. One world leader. This is all part of their agenda. Now listen to the last part of this opening statement. The priorities of societies, the nature of business models, and the management of global commons. Anybody want to take a guess on what the management of global commons means? It means we, the very elite, will control everything that you have. That's what it means. You won't own anything. That is their agenda. And for us to be completely unaware of that is negligence at best. These are signs of the end. You say, Jim, so what? Why do I care? Matter of fact, you might even add, who cares? Did you hear what Paul just said? When the restrainer is removed, the lawless one is revealed. You know who's going to head this up if this comes to reality? Yeah, the one Paul talked about. We are that close. We are that close. The reality of the second coming of Christ in his official taking authority over the earth and dominion over the earth will happen after the rapture, after the restrainer is moved, after the lawless one is taken his seven-year position. Then the Lord will come back and establish his kingdom. But in the meantime, there's still a bunch of stuff that's happening. And I implore us to be aware of how close we are. I said this a minute ago, 10 minutes ago. The rapture is going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. In a moment, Paul said, you miss that flight, you're some of the millions left here being controlled by the lawless one. It's not going to be pretty. You say, Jim, I still got another chance, so I'm gonna get right with God after that. Why would I want to wait till then when I can be right with Him today? I don't want to miss that flight. I don't want to be part of the lawless one's dominion and reign for 7 years. Read Revelation 6 through 19 again. People die in mass by the millions that'll turn into billions. The enemy of our souls will use this lawless one to wipe out people, to kill, to destroy. That's when the mark of the beast will take place. You won't be able to buy, sell, or trade. There's so much to say about this yet. But I'm simply saying this is close. You don't want to miss the flight. This is close. You say, Jim, I don't buy it. I think it's going to be a long time till the Lord returns. It may be. And it may be tomorrow that He raptures out His church. And if you miss the flight, you're with the billions that remain. They're going to go through Revelation 6 through 19. And the lawless one is in charge. The Spirit of God has been removed. The Son of God has come and taken His church. You will be here on your own. And to say, I'm going to get right with God at that point, I'm saying, why in the world would we gamble with waiting till then? My point today simply is very, very simple. Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for the restrainer to be removed? Because when that happens, Paul said, the lawless one is going to come. It's going to be named, going to come into power, and it's going to get really, really ugly. Are you ready for the rapture? Praise team, let's sing. I apologize for going over, but I don't apologize for helping you be aware of the urgency of the time. Read World Economic Forum if you don't believe me. You might think, I've lost my last marble. I've lost a lot of hearing, and I got other physical problems. But I haven't lost my mind. I've read, and I've studied, and I've learned. And Pat and Charles and others maybe of you have learned and studied the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is very close. And if you have not been born again, you're going to miss the flight. Are you hearing me, brothers and sisters? You're going to miss the flight. Jesus is the one that said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. If you're not born again, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. You'll never even see it. You do not want to gamble with missing the flight. You do not want to gamble with being here in the 7 years of tribulation. Will there be people during that time to come to faith in Christ? I think there will. But I don't want to be under the authority of the lawless one. You don't either. If you're not sure, if you're not absolutely sure, if Jesus came today, you'd be on your way to glory with Him, then I'm encouraging, I'm begging you to get right by faith with Jesus. The Apostle Paul also said, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. You can't work your way there. It's a gift of God. The grace of God, your faith in the Son of God. Surrendered faith that says, take over, Lord Jesus. I repent of all my sin. Take over, Lord Jesus. I give my life to you. I want to be your child. I want to live for you. I want to follow you. If you've not been born again, you're going to miss the flight. And so I simply tell us all this to make sure you have made preparations for the flight. It could get difficult between now and the rapture. With this administration, It could get difficult for believers. Are you going to walk with Jesus? Are you going to bail? It could get difficult. And while the difficulty is here, you've got to decide, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to follow Jesus. If you're not sure about that today, you come up here, pray with myself, pray with Charles Neal. Do it where you're at. By faith, get right with God through faith in Jesus. You do not want to miss the flight. You do not want to be here when the lawless one is revealed and takes over. You do not.
Let us pray. Loving Father, as we move forward from this time together into our mission field this week, help us, Father, to stay solid to your truth, to stay obedient to your word, and to live as shining ambassadors to this world, representing you. It's getting more obvious, Father, that evil is forming an alliance around this globe, and that we must determine who will we serve. So, Father, as we leave here today, we remember our Sunday school lessons and stand with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We will not bow to this world. We will stand for Christ. Whatever the cost, we have determined it and we'll pay it. Father, help us to be bold. In Jesus' name, amen.